You want signed copies?
I do. Now I'm told it's Jay. This is the Judicial Branch Administration Audit Reports for Judicial Council Acceptance. This is an action item. We are welcoming Justice Richard Huffman, who's chair of the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency for the Judicial Branch, longtime member of Judicial Council. Welcome back, Dick.
Good morning, Chief Justice and members of the council.
We also have the presiding judge of the Superior Court of San Joaquin County, Judge Robin Apple, and the court executive officer of that court, Ms. Rosa Junquero, and Mr. John Jednick, senior manager of the IIS Finance Division. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chief Justice. As the council members may recall, among the duties of the Financial Accountability and Efficiency Advisory Committee are to review audits of the trial courts, the administrative office of the courts, the appellate courts, before they are presented to the Judicial Council for ultimate placement on the Judicial Council public website. I think it's important to clarify the role of the A&E committee in this process. It is not our role to supervise or give direction to the trial courts. Our role, as we perceive it, is to review these audits, make sure that they are complete, that if open issues have been raised by the auditor, that the court has not only had the time but has responded and closed the issue. If in some instances that has not happened, or in the case where an issue has been raised that causes the committee to believe that the Judicial Council should pay particular attention to it, we will set it on the request that it be set on the council's discussion agenda. In this particular council session, when you passed the consent items, you did approve audit reports for acceptance from three courts that the A&E committee forwarded to you, the courts of Alpine, El Dorado, and Napa, for acceptance by the council and moving forward. Our task in reviewing audit reports is to review all of these audit reports and to recommend acceptance to the Judicial Council. And at some point in our process, we intend to make recommendations to the Council on either individual or systemic issues that we see during the process of examining these various audits. On September 2nd, the committee met for a full day as part of a two-day session of the A&E committee's getting organized and going through the learning process it needs to do for its various tasks. And we reviewed these four audits and come to the conclusion that we recommend discussion of the San Joaquin audit. To simply to distinguish between what we urge you to consider by consent and that which we urge you to consider in your discussion agenda, but the general characteristics you see in front of you, many of these audits lack any high-risk nature of issues. We don't see any exposure to improper operational losses, improper expenditures. No defalcations have been identified, and none of or only a minimal number of the issues show any risk or exposure of areas that are concerned. On the other hand, a general characteristic of an audit that we will bring to you and urge that you consider in public is where there's one or a combination of characteristics, issues that could result in a diminished public confidence in the court's ability to account for or manage the public and fiduciary funds. We view it as our role as responsible for the accountability aspect of accountability and efficiency, identify those issues and bring them to the court's attention first, and then, depending on how the court is able to deal with it, bring it to your attention. And I'll have John Jednick go through the audit in just 1 second. But the reason the A&E committee brought this to your attention was that we believe that there has been a number of issues that they've existed for some time. There has been a defalcation, and the court, I think, is trying mightily to deal with this issue, but has indicated to us, as it has in other issues, in my experience of dealing with problems San Joaquin faces, they're of course very, very short on funding, and they are strained in meeting their needs. The committee's view is that financial accountability, however, is a need that has to be met, and it has to find its place higher in the priority. But anyway, so I'll turn it over to John Judnick, who will make his comments. Our protocol of the committee is when we do urge a matter to be presented to the council in a session like this where there is some issues that you should know about, we always invite the court to participate if it would like to do so, because we think this should provide an opportunity for a dialogue with the council and give the court also a chance, if it has disagreements with any of our recommendations, to voice that as well. So, John, if you would go through the audit, and then we will turn it over to the San Joaquin Court.
Thank you, Justice. Good morning, Chief. Good morning, Council members. To start off the presentation on San Joaquin, I'll just give you an overview as to the statistics of the court. This is a medium-sized court, 32 authorized judgeships, 4.5 subordinate judicial officers, a full-time equivalent staff of 365, with 8 in the fiscal unit of the court. The court now has 5 locations. They closed one from the prior year, so they're down one location with 33 courtrooms, a $48 million budget in 10-11. And historically, based upon the resource allocation study, the court has been classified as underfunded. With respect to the issues in this audit report, many of them don't directly relate to a funding issue. They're basic internal accounting controls, but as Justice Huffman stated, the court is stretched, and there are some issues that I'll point out that deal directly with funding. The audit report itself was made available to the council members on the website to review. I'll just cover a couple of key high-risk areas and the issues in those areas. But just as a high-level summary, there were 161 reportable issues with 40 in high-risk categories. And we consider high-risk categories areas where there is potential fiscal issues, either fiscal loss issues, potential fiscal loss issues, or significant fiscal impact. There are also numerous issues with possible significant financial impact that we're pointing out to the court again from the prior audit report from 2005-2006 that the court needed to address. There are, though, also some reportable issues with the court response indicating non-correction or a timeliness issue in terms of the correction that are impacted by their financial resources or lack of financial resources. Some of those areas are in the IS area, information systems area, the facility area, and physical security areas. In accordance with the policy as approved by the council, we've identified to the court those physical security issues and have identified those separately in a report to the court as they impact the physical security of the judges and court staff. Those are not in the public report. The court has also responded to the audit issues, and that is in the appendix and in the body of the report, and has generally agreed to the issues. They have agreed to the issues. We do have target dates and recommendations for most of the items, except for those issues where they have indicated that there are financial constraints, which is that third bullet point. Many of the completion dates are subsequent to our field work, and the correction status will be requested from the court, and we have gotten an update the other day. Of the 161 issues that we've pointed out, approximately 105 have been indicated by the court that they have already corrected. As of this point in time. There are, though, also some repeat issues that I'll point out as I go through this report just for your attention. There are not many. The prior audit of the court in 05-06 was more a CARS readiness or a Phoenix review that wasn't as comprehensive as the current audit, and therefore there are some differences between the two. This is a comprehensive audit, though, and some of the issues that we'll be pointing out are repeat from that. In the cash handling practices, and I'll go over this fairly quickly, not to bore you with the details, but there are issues in terms of court cashiers at two locations sharing a cash drawer. That is a repeat from the prior audit. And the court has addressed that, and I believe almost all the cash handling practices that I'll outline now for you have been corrected, as indicated by the court. There's a lack of documentation evidencing supervisory review of beginning and ending cash drawer positions. A high-risk area from internal audit's standpoint is void transactions. Void receipts were not always retained, so audit couldn't review those. There's a lack of documentation evidencing supervisory review and approval. On daily closeout, there's an indication here from the audit that the balancing reports were not always signed by the cashiers, evidencing their approval of that final cash out. On mail payments as unprocessed were not secured at night. They were left on desks. That, in particular, is a repeat from the prior audit. They weren't timely processed, which is very similar to many of our courts with that particular issue. As long as they're appropriately controlled and entered on a timely basis, audit does not have a problem with that, but they need to be properly secured and processed on a timely basis. And in particular, the segregation of duties issue is still at that court. That is a potential issue in terms of their resources. Bank deposits, again, still in the cashiering area. Segregation of duties issue with regard to cash handling, accounting, reconcilement, and depositing. In one case, a one particular individual performed all these incompatible functions. A lack of documentation supporting supervisory review of preparing bank deposits. Summarizing the cashiering area in other areas, but without the appropriate internal controls and practices being followed, a court is subject to the potential business risk of daily collections or assets being lost or stolen. Right after the audit report was released to the court, there was a defalcation. That, as reported in the Sacramento Bee and other newspapers, resulted in a $42,000 missing from the Stockton court that was directly associated with one individual performing incompatible functions. The court, though, has recovered those funds, so there is not a loss, but there is potential when you don't correct specific functions, as pointed out, there is that potential for loss. In trust accounting, trust accounts were not reconciled, and I use the past tense now, were not reconciled for over 2 years as of the date of our audit. The court has indicated that it is currently at March of this year in terms of getting its reconciliations closer to being current. The court indicated that the problem was caused by the CMS system accounting reporting issues. Part-time employee working on reconciliations was using a custom report workaround to get current, and they have an issue with their CMS on the criminal side, which you'll see in a moment. Revenue distributions is a repeat issue from the prior audit. It is an issue that we've identified in prior reports as presented to council as a systemic issue statewide. Most courts have these issues. Revenue distributions are complex. They're always prone to possible errors, and the penalties in particular can be significant at 18% per annum. As previously reported, Internal Audit Services provides the courts as part of its audits with an update as to the calculations to point out issues. The primary responsibility for doing court, what we call court revenue audits, is the state controllers. Unfortunately, the state controllers is roughly on a 7-year cycle. So if you have an error from 7 or 8 years ago at 18% per annum, that can be a significant problem for the court in terms of penalties, and that does occur throughout the state. In particular, for San Joaquin Superior Court, they have numerous distribution errors, as pointed out in the audit report, specifically in the high-profile areas of traffic infraction, non-traffic infraction, and misdemeanor felony cases. Specifically, for this court on the civil side, they use V3, CCMS V3. On the criminal side, similar to our last audit, they are still with the county's AMIS CMS system that is 25-plus years old, and in addition, they're required, because of the age of the system, to use Excel spreadsheets that were developed by the county and provided to the court. And those spreadsheets, as any spreadsheets, they're resulting from manual entry, are very prone to error. We noted that as part of our audit. There are significant dollars involved here that go back in time. On procurement practices, I won't dwell on a number of these issues. There were significant concerns regarding procurement practices. These are repeat issues in general from the prior audit. And so we have written authorization issues. We have on the purchase card transactions an indication of lack of appropriate signatures and the exceeding of the per transaction limits on the part of the court. And again, approval, the court manager who is approving some of these transactions was not on their approval matrix. And we were missing, and the court could not obtain 14 of the 20 tested procurement documents that we requested. Those are significant issues. There are a lot of other issues. I've just covered the significant areas that we consider, internal audit considers high-risk areas. There are other areas that are summarized. They're in the report to review. But I think at this point in time, you know, we have Presiding Judge Apple here and Rosa Wancaro, the court exec, to provide a short statement and to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief and Council members. You know, the San Joaquin County Courts had never had a full audit before, and it actually was a welcome review of our operations and quite eye-opening for us. We've always considered ourselves, in spite of this audit, to be good stewards of public funds. And this audit pointed out many things which have allowed us, and we have already made significant improvements in our operations. Unless the issues cannot be resolved because of our funding issues, we have corrected or are in the process of correcting everything the audit suggests. And I think there's two very significant things we would like the council to understand about this audit. The first and the most important, and I think Justice Huffman and Mr. Judnick will confirm, is that there is absolutely no finding of mismanagement in this audit. There's no mismanagement of trial court funding allocations, and that's not why we're here today. The second is that many of the issues reported in the audit occurred because of our ongoing lack of resources and cannot be resolved because of our lack of resources. It's no secret that our court has always been under-resourced, and the recent budget cuts have decimated our court. I detailed the history and the reason we need relief in my last appearance before this council, and unfortunately, I'll be back at the next meeting seeking emergency funding to address our budget deficit. Don't misunderstand. We don't blame all of this on lack of money. We've had some practices that need to be corrected, and the majority of them have been corrected at this point. There is one particular issue that we can't blame completely on resources, and although we are working on it, it is not completely resolved. And that has to do with segregation of duties related to cash handling procedures. We are working on ways to reassign staff and their duties and have a supervisor involved in that process now, and we do anticipate it will be completely resolved within the year. I'm not going to address every item in the audit. We'd all be asleep. But I do want to explain just a few examples of things that can't be fixed. The report stated that the court delayed implementation of the penalty assessment and fee increases pursuant to SB 1407. And that is true. It was delayed. But unfortunately, we had no ability to implement the assessment sooner, although we did try to figure out ways to do it. Our criminal case management system is owned by the county. It's over 25 years old. And the county has one programmer, and we're at his mercy as to the availability. It took him 7 months to reprogram our system to be able to charge the fee. We had absolutely no control over it. Our trust account reconciliations, which had not been completed for several years, are almost done now. Initially, we didn't have qualified or sufficient staff to perform all of the duties required by a finance department. We reassigned and hired staff, increasing that department from 3 employees to 8 employees over the past 5 years. We are big supporters of CCMS. I think everyone knows that. It served us well in most areas. However, V3 accounting reports had major issues which prevented us from completing the reconciliations. Custom reports were actually built for our court, which has allowed us to catch up, and ultimately we will be able to remain current. Excuse me. There were a lot of individual entries in the audit, making it look much bigger, which pointed out errors in fee and fine distributions from criminal and traffic. And Mr. Judnick did talk about that. Although it may appear to be a lot, it is actually a very small number of overall entries. Our case management systems have very limited functions, and many of these entries are done manually. It is a very complicated and cumbersome process. Each report is entered manually on an Excel spreadsheet, which was developed by the county auditor, which then further distributes the fees and fines accordingly. The daily reports are over an inch thick to give you an idea of how many there are. And I actually asked Rosa to bring them today just to show you what our staff does every single day to get these fines distributed on the spreadsheets. The court is now awaiting a response. I'm sorry. We've asked the auditor to make changes in the spreadsheets, which may help this problem. It won't fix it, but it'll help it. But having a modern case management system that could be programmed to calculate the ever-changing distributions would, of course, be an asset to our court. We can't afford it. Finally, some of the concerns in the report had to do with not changing passwords, not automatically disabling accounts after a period of activity, and other computer-related issues. These are all due to the limited functionality of our very old servers, and it's not possible for us to make the suggested changes. Obviously, servers cost money, and unfortunately, that's something we just don't have enough of. So these are just a few examples of the limitations that prevent us from addressing many of the audit issues. If you have additional questions about the specifics of the audit, we're happy to address them. And if there is something specific that you want to address, if you could point us to the particular section you're referencing, that would be helpful.
If I might just add a comment, I certainly appreciate Judge Apple's comments, and I appreciate their cooperation. They've been absolutely forthcoming throughout this process. But we felt that this presented a circumstance of accountability that the council needed to at least be aware of. Here is a court struggling as hard as it can. It does have substantial resource problems. There are things that they can correct, and they will. But you're seeing some instances for either lack of a case management system and or staffing and or that they're running up against a wall. On the other hand, you, for whom we work, have the responsibility to be accountable to the public for the use and expenditure of public funds. And so the dilemma, we hand over to you. You get the big bucks to make these decisions. So, Rosa, did you have any comments?
Unless there are questions.
All right. That's our report if they're open for questions.
Judge O'Malley.
I just want to relate sentiments to the court. Having gone through an audit, it is a very useful instrument to help a court really see those deficiencies that it needs to improve. And no court is perfect. I mean, I used to be on A&E, and so I do remember reading through so many audits of so many courts, and a lot of the problems that I saw in your audit are common with most courts. Cash handling is a consistent problem across the board and so forth. So I appreciate the fact that you like I did for our court, take the audit to heart and to take it in, as an aid to help the court to improve. And again, this just goes to stress, why we need to finish this CCMS project, because courts like yours and mine are struggling and wasting money on these antiquated systems. And if we could get through it, then it would be useful, I know, to you as well as many medium and small-sized courts. So good luck, and thank you for taking this audit in the good stride that you have.
Thank you.
Kim Turner.
Thank you, Chief. I first of all wanted to just commend you for being so forthcoming and cooperative and correcting the issues that were raised in your audit, but also to just mention that, you know, especially when John Judnick's group goes out, what you're really having, I think, is a friendly audit, and it's a constructive audit to alert you to areas where there are deficiencies. In the area, for example, where you may have incorrect distributions, when in finding out about those now, I don't know when your next state controller's audit is scheduled.
Very soon.
Very soon. Okay. Well, the more you can try to remediate those issues to show that you're aware of them, you've addressed them. First of all, it will stop the penalty clock from running for that period of time, but it will also demonstrate, I think, goodwill to the auditors as they come in. When Mr. Judnick and his group came to see Marin a couple of years ago, they found that our county IS had turned off a priority distribution in our system unknown to us, and so when we found out, we were able to actually go in at that point and fix the problem so that we are now just concluding our audit, and we were able to stop that penalty clock from running for 3 additional years because we were able to take action upon the recommendations of John's group. So that's just a hopefully a helpful hint.
And just as a footnote to your comments, Kim, we have already notified the San Joaquin County Auditor Controller's Office to make those changes in the distribution errors that have been identified, because we do recognize, however, the County Auditor Controller does not let us make the changes. This is their spreadsheet. They've told us they're responsible. So if there are errors, we're going to hold them responsible also for any penalties.
Great. Judge Pines?
Mr. Judnick, I just wanted to get your perspective in response to what the presiding judge has mentioned here. There are a number of problems that apparently haven't been corrected or can't be corrected because of a lack of resources or computer problems. Is that your view as well?
Yes.
Why this court out of all, we've got 58 courts, why is this court having problems as opposed to others?
This is not unique just to this court.
Right.
We have pointed out in other reports a similar situation where the courts are dependent upon the county on the CMS to correct things, or they have to deal with a programming issue where a programmer has to come in to correct things, and they have to address that on a very timely basis, and we have noted that in the reports. There are, though, in this particular case, there are a number of issues where the court has corrected things already that we totally agree with. But there are situations where we agree with the court that they're dependent upon either the county or somebody external to the court to correct the issue, and we'll have to wait for that to be corrected.
So some of these items just can't be corrected? Is that what you're saying, because of the CMS problems?
In this particular case and in others that we've pointed out in our reports, that is correct, yes.
So how serious is this, and what do we do? Are we looking to a loss of funds because of this?
Well, the potential in many cases, especially as we've pointed out in the revenue distribution issue, if those are not corrected, there are penalties of improper distribution, which also means that the state and or cities and counties don't appropriately get their money on an accurate basis. If the money doesn't go to the state, that's an 18% per annum penalty per year.
Now, I realize we're going to be dealing with this court next month and trying to solve some of these problems, but is this a solvable problem simply by providing more funds, or are we looking at something that it cannot be solved because of this computer problem?
I think it's a combination of things.
So some
will address with funding, some will address with the court doing some workarounds. But in this particular case, on the criminal side, they've got a criminal case management system that is going to have to be replaced. And they're going to have to continue with that because that's the county system. The court doesn't have the funds to buy a criminal case management system.
You were using V3, is that right?
Civil side.
The civil side.
Civil side.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we're going to get into this more, in, at the next meeting. I was just trying to understand the dimensions of the problem and what it takes to solve it.
Thank you. Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Judnick, just out of curiosity, in your years, how many trial court audits have you conducted approximately?
We've, counting the pre-CARS readiness reviews, we've covered all the courts probably twice.
Okay. How many of those audits have resulted in no deficiencies?
None.
Audits are part of the process.
Yes, they are.
It's just part of the way we find out how we can do it better.
That is correct.
Right.
And to be specific on that, Judge, you have changes over time, changes in supervisors who don't understand the current practice. The purpose of the audit is the second set of eyes to do it on a timely basis to ensure that the court is aware of changes. And so from that standpoint, you always have issues on audits. I don't think there's one court that where we have not had a revenue distribution issue. During our cycle, and it's to varying degrees. The cash issues always show up, and we point that out on a recurring basis. And the reality is also that the courts in general have significantly improved over the last 5 years.
If I might just add on a procedural note from the committee's perspective, of course, the A&E committee is 2 years old and is working its way through a process that the council created to get audits on the public website by having them reviewed by a committee, then to the E&P, and then on to the full council. And as we try to distinguish between those we send forward and urge you accept on your consent agenda and those where we think at least an issue should be surfaced. Very often, what we're in this instance, we're not here to criticize the court, but rather to raise an issue that a court has that does impact the accountability side of our fiscal responsibilities, so that at least you have it in your material as you go forward and make decisions. And that's what we view our role as, providing you information and opportunity. So we will pick some from time to time, not, again, to criticize or cause the court any more problems than it does dragging him down here, but rather for you to, before you place something on the website, to understand what's going on as it works into the issues that you have to decide.
Thank you. Judge Wesley.
Thank you. Since this court will be coming back here, Mr. Judnick, when was the last report, last audit done in this court? And were there things that were recommended for correction that could have been corrected that were not corrected?
The last audit was a CARS readiness in 2006. It was not a comprehensive, but it did cover a number of areas. The trust account issue was not corrected at that time. The court is now catching up, but that was pointed out in the prior audit. The segregation of duties issues was pointed out on the last audit. That was not corrected. And when I say not corrected, I better preface that with the fact that things change over time. Between audits, you could have a change in personnel and change in the business function of the court. But in a number of cases that we pointed out, the issues, when we indicate that there are repeat issues, or those are specific to the last audit. And I think there were five or six of those that were indicated on this audit.
John, would you just clarify for our public record, there was an inquiry made about when the state controller's audit would occur. Could you tell us a little bit about why the state controller is now doing the auditing and what your role, if any, will be with IAS and the AOC in auditing the trial courts?
Well, the state controller has, for the last number of years since I've been here, last 10 years, has done court revenue audits and continues to do those, and those will continue to go on. Under the current statutes, the state controllers will be the first party that can review the allowance to do the financial, what I call the financial audits, going forward, starting next year with six trial courts, and then going forward during the cycle, which is strictly a financial audit, doesn't directly review operations such as cash controls and so on. We're still to negotiate that. And the Bureau of State audits, starting next year, would be doing six pilot courts on the procurement and contracting side. So we're in a transition year right now to determine the extent of state controllers or potentially BSA or Department of Finance, which one of those three would get chosen by the statute to do the financial side, and then BSA to do the procurement and contracting going forward on a four-year cycle.
Thank you. Ron, did you have something?
Well, I appreciate the comments from Presiding Judge Apple and from Rosa. And I would say the issue of delay in being able to reprogram computers, legacy systems, you know, to be able to make changes to fine amounts and fee amounts and all those kinds of things is not unique to this court at all. And as a matter of fact, when we work with the Department of Finance and the legislature and give them estimates of projections of revenue based on new fees or fines, we assume a delay of 6 months or so in terms of the ability to collect those, because in this instance, where it's a legacy system under the control of the county, the court has no ability to deal with that. And this is not something that John uncovered in the audit. This is something Rosa has given presentations on for significant for a long time. I've heard her give those reports that it's not possible for her to get those changes made in a timely way. So it's not unique to this court at all. And I saw court execs responding over here to that effect. It is a significant issue in terms of delay of being able to get revenue, but it's not unique and it's not something we're just learning from the court. I would say, you know, I know we have with us today the administrative resources of the court in two individuals who are here. So I worry about what's happening back in Stockton today. But, you know, the fact that you have such limited resources and the ability to do things. Our regional administrator, Jody Patel, has an excellent relationship with your court, and we will commit anything we can to do what we can to assist you in addressing some of these issues, too.
Yes, we did bring our assistant presiding judge, David Warner, with us, and our chief financial officer, Linda Courtright. And I asked Linda because she had worked very closely with John Judnick's group on a daily, weekly basis with this audit report over the last year and a half. So in case there were other specific questions that I didn't feel comfortable answering, I asked Linda to join us, too. So,
David and Fritz.
Well, I just wanted to respond also to what Ron had mentioned. Certainly, many of us are beholden to the counties because we're stuck using the systems that have been in place for a long time. And it's not just one a challenge of people resources, but fiscal. We get charged tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, just to program the increases in fines and the distributions every year. And that has to be done before the first of the year, or we face these penalties. So it is, for a court that is short on funds, very taxing to try to comply with those changes that happen every year.
I just wanted to add to what Ron said, and I wanted to commend Mr. Judnick and the court for what's going on with the audits. The state controller has been doing that for at least 37 years since I've been around. But in recent years, that function has really fell off with trial court unifications and all of the changes that happened. And a lot of attention wasn't paid by the AOC or anyone else to the tremendously complex calculations and distributions of court revenue. And when I was in L.A. more than 10 years ago, the L.A. Municipal Court alone took in $100 million a year. Not small change. And as I listen and read, there's a litany of a whole history of all of the kinds of scams and problems that I have seen over my career that involved, in some instances, serious money. And we need to really, really focus on this issue. And I commend you, Mr. Judnick, to keep going out there. And courts want this service and need this service. And as Judge Rosenberg said, this audits are part of it. And to have the auditors show up at the back door and not know they're coming, as the county auditors in L.A. used to do, they would just be at the door when the first person got there, and the first thing they wanted to see was your safe. And they would do an inventory. And we need the service. Thank you.
If I can just, I lugged these all the way here. I have to share them with you. This is just from our criminal and traffic case management system. This is just one day's documentation of just that system. This is one day. So we have potentially 20 of these per month.
Manual.
This then gets turned into this, which is a month-end report. So this is just coming from a criminal and traffic system that is 25-plus years old. This is a monthly report. I'll take off my little heart stickers. This is this is a monthly report from V3. This is for the month. This is all we have.
I think, as emphasized by the court and from an audit standpoint, just to echo what is being said, the calculations, revenue distribution calculations, are complex, ever-changing, and are very difficult to keep up with. As I said earlier, there has been no court audit that we have done that has not had issues on revenue distribution, and they have significant fiscal impact. hopefully will assist the court to negotiate whatever penalties might incur with the county. But you can see this process that this court goes through. And when we talk about issues and resources, the court is devoting a significant amount of its resources to this work that could use in other areas.
Thank you. Judge Baker?
I think the audit appears to be very thorough. I appreciate that, and I'm encouraged by the response to it so far. I know we'll be revisiting a lot of these issues next time we meet to consider San Joaquin's request for additional funding. If it's not premature, Chief, I'd move that we accept the audit report so it can be made public.
Thank you. Judge Baker's moved. Judge Waters, second. Any more discussion or comment?
I just had one follow-up question. I remain concerned about the predicament that the court's in because of the dependency on the county system. Have you come up with any short-term solution or estimate or program that you could use in the interim? Because we're not sure what's going to happen with CCMS or when that's going to go online. Is there something else you're considering that could address this problem so that for the foreseeable future you don't have a repeat of these issues and the problems with revenue distribution?
I think the very short answer is no. Okay. There is nothing else for us to do. I mean, we have to have our staff be as vigilant as they can possibly be in their entries, obviously. But other than that, I mean, there's no possible way that we will be able to buy a case management system. None.
I'm talking about, this is fairly limited here. We're talking about the revenue distribution aspect.
No, it's not limited. It's a huge, huge issue. Which actually Rosa or Linda would be in a better position to explain. But it's not just, you know, buying a new Excel spreadsheet or something like that. It's an extremely complicated process.
If I can kind of clarify a little bit, the reason that we have to use an Excel spreadsheet is because the case management system, because it is very, very old technology, is very limited in the capability and how it can be programmed to accommodate the very complex distributions that are required for all the fees and fines. It's not enough that someone pays a traffic ticket and your penalty assessment's collected, courthouse construction, fingerprint ID, city gets their share, all the different, we call them buckets, all the different buckets, and everybody gets their little piece of that pie. Some of those distributions are distributed a second and third time. So it's very a complicated process, and it doesn't just stop here at the case management system level. For us, it does, because we get one report there. We have to take those figures from the one report, dump it into the spreadsheet, and then let the spreadsheet continue to distribute so you get your final fees, fines, and forfeiture report for the month.
Yes. Judge Coffman.
Justice Huffman, I was on the first A&E without you, without your guidance. And so the question
is.
But
you missed me too, didn't you?
Nobody wants to be my buddy anymore, so yeah. I'm stuck with you.
There's a reason for that.
I know I should. All right. The question I have is this: I don't want to pick on San Joaquin, but basically, is the A&E committee thought that there was a court that had an audit problem that had an audit that should be brought to the council for some reasons, whatever they are. So now you bring it to the council's to the council for a review. What are our options? We can say we have to accept the audit, or what do we do? What can we do other than just say thank you very much and move on?
Well, from the standpoint of the audit process, as you've outlined it in the council's process, it's ultimately for you to decide to accept the audit and put it on the website, or conceptually you could send it back to the committee, to John Judnick, to the court, and ask for further information. The other thing that this does is it surfaces for you, as we probably will at differing times during the year, surface for you recurring issues that present policy questions, such as the inability for them to function without a case management system, the inability to buy one, and the difficulty of taking limited resources and plowing them into these areas, only to do is, you know, as best they can, in the absence of the technology they need. You may have to make in your overall decisions on pursuing technology, pursuing resources, trying to find AOC workarounds for courts. So I don't think at this place, this particular hearing, is where you would likely, in any audit, have some finite decisions other than accept the audit. But you may let me lead to directions to the AOC or other places to come back and offer you solutions or approaches that might solve these problems, which are system-wide problems. They just hit kind of in a happy, perfect storm with San Joaquin, which caused the committee to think this needs to be brought to your attention. And that's how we think our role is. At the end of the day, officially, you accept the audit, put it on the website. But now you know there's a set of problems, and we're here to tell you this is not the only court that's going to have this problem. Yeah. And as we surface them...
Well, San Joaquin has more than one problem, okay? And
right.
So the question is, what do we as a council do to say, well, now that we've seen the problem and we see what's going on, what do we as a council do to say, how do we resolve these problems? How do we deal with these problems not only from an individual court's basis but a statewide basis if it's a recurring problem?
Well, I don't have an immediate answer to that because we're in a process that we're making up. And, it's again, we've approached it as providing you information. We are not in a position as a committee to offer you solutions at this point because, A, we've not been charged with it, and, B, I don't know that we have the resources or expertise to do that.
If I could also, part of the process from Internal Audit Services is to attend regional meetings, as I've done, to present the issues that are popping up on all the courts, to provide that information on a regional basis, on a statewide basis, and giving indications to the court areas that they need to correct prior to the audits. I've done that at the regional meetings. The audit report's going onto the website for all courts to see, to get an indication of the issues that are cropping up, or again, educational, to point out things that need to be corrected. So there are a lot of things that are going on. We will have training sessions on revenue distributions that are going to be coming up for the courts. And so there are a lot of activities that Internal Audit Services is doing in conjunction with other courts and other people to try to correct these issues. But as Justice Huffman indicated, this is an audit report to provide you with information indicating what is going on out in the court system.
Okay. I'm going to call it and have Edith, then Kim, then Alan.
We've heard that because of the absence of an updated computer system, you have to do the manual spreadsheets, and of the risk that if they're not done correctly, there can be significant penalties to the court. I have another concrete question in terms of what kind of personnel cost is being incurred by the need to do these manually. Can you give me a sense of how much staff time has to be spent putting together those multi-inch thick reports you showed us?
I'm going to guess, and my CFO is here who can give me a more specific answer, but my estimate, and that is probably takes our staff, we probably have two or three people that work on the fees, fines, and forfeiture reports. The daily reports have to be completed, and then the month end, I'd say the month end for both systems probably takes about 2 weeks, a week and a half?
Mm-hmm. Which in a computer is...
Kim.
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to echo what John said. John and I have had a number of conversations in the last year. I was also formerly on A&E, and as the chair of SEAC, he and I have talked about the value of A&E is to elevate, surface those issues where the courts do have control. Obviously, the CMS problem in San Joaquin, like in many other places, is not something that may be within the court's control. But cash handling issues, procurement procedures, there are a number of areas that are, I think, common themes in many of the audit reports that we see that are really training issues. And so John and I have talked about, rather than just running through a list of the top 10 audit findings, which we've done for many years at regional meetings and so forth, but to actually spend some time focus on a particular issue like cash handling or segregation of duties and to spend that time really talking with CEOs so that they can take that learning back to their courts and actually have an opportunity to walk around and to see, well, what's happening in my court in the area of segregation of duties, and hopefully get into sort of a more preventive posture with, correcting these internal control issues, which, you know, don't take a lot of additional resources. They're just simply making sure that your practices and procedures are functioning according to Hoyle in terms of generally accepted accounting principles.
Thank you. Alan.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Judnick's confirmed something that I had a sense of, having read all the audits since I got on the council. I keep thinking, it seems like everybody has problems with distribution, and you've pretty much confirmed that. And yet we're running right past that. I think there's a huge message here that the distribution system needs to be fixed. It's not, I mean, if all of us can't do it right, it's not us. It's the distribution formula. And I think we need somehow to convey that to the legislature or ask our traffic committee or criminal committee or somebody to say, look, we gotta make this something that human beings can do, because we're not doing it right. And I don't think anybody. We found a mistake on ours during an audit, and we have a very good computer system. It's too complicated, and it needs to be cleaned up. And that's a message, I think, out of this, that we need to do something about and not just walk past, so to speak.
Excuse me. Did I hear a we are?
I believe we are looking at that. We have a task force looking at revenue collection and distribution, and it is complex. And we have members from the legislature, from the cities, from the CEOs from around the state that are all looking at it and saying, my God, this is complex.
That's right.
And the same thing struck me, Mr. Carlson, when I was looking at this, the same thing struck me is if everybody's having a problem with this, then the problem is not with everybody. It's with the distribution system. And so we really we are looking at it, and we will be making recommendations to the council.
Thank you. I understand, Judge O'Malley, you're chair of that.
Yes, she is.
And Judge Wesley is my co-chair.
we'll be anxiously awaiting that report. Judge Rosenberg.
Well, the other solution, of course, is to replace the auditors. But, you know, the old coal miners used to have a canary located at the mouth of the cave, and when the canary fell over dead, that was an indication that there was a problem. There was gas or some other problem. I think to some extent San Joaquin is the canary. I hope you're not falling over dead yet. But it's clear that we're going to see more and more of this issue popping up. I'm sure Mr. Judnick will confirm that we have these ancient systems, case management systems. The court can't afford to get a new system at this time, and so we just have to keep driving forward to get a statewide case management system in place, which will, I think, help greatly to alleviate many of these problems.
Thank you. And Ron, you had something to add? Okay. Any more? Oh,
yeah,
Judge Herman.
I just say to, carry your analogy further, not that I like dead canaries, but there really are a flock. I mean, it's not just one canary. I mean, Kings, you can just go down the list of those counties that are faced with either the expense of an interim system or struggling with a legacy system that's failing. I mean, this is poster child stuff.
Yeah. So. The question, the motion's been made and seconded. Without further discussion, all in favor of accepting the report and posting it on the website, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. Thank you for this background and information, and thank you, Justice Heffman, for bringing to us one of the systemic issues that we know A&E has kept an eye out and it's serving its purpose. And we will see you in December.
Thank you.
Chief Justice, members of the Council. Thank you.